The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. For what is born of the flesh is flesh, what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believed in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. God, send your Spirit to rest upon our hearts, our minds, our tongues, and our imagination, that we may go out into the world knowing that it is your light that we follow. In his name we pray. Amen. So, I am absolutely convinced, and I have no reason to be convinced other than common sense, that the story of Abraham did not happen the way it did in the book of Genesis as it is told today. It makes no sense. Think about it for a second. Abraham is a very wealthy man. He has tons of flocks. He has a large family around him. He has many, many servants in their families. So he is responsible for like this little village unto itself, or actually probably a good sized village unto itself. And God comes to this man and says to him, "You need to get up, pull up your stakes, and go." Okay. It just doesn't happen that way. It doesn't. It's not human nature. I don't care if Abram is the most faithful man in the history of humankind, and he may very well be. But there's no way there wasn't a little bit of bargaining involved. Well, what do you mean by go? Like, how far? Well, you're making these promises that you're going to bless us with all these things. Are you willing to sign on the dotted line that that is true? I mean, just, we're human. It's what we do. We make deals. We can't just jump in head first. Well, some people can't just jump in head first. And on top of all this, because of his multitude of responsibilities, he probably felt some obligation to all these folks who were going to go with him to make sure they got a good start of it. But in the end, as is always the case, God wins. And Abraham pulls up his stakes, and he goes. And the rest is literally history. But you can imagine the spectrum of emotions that Abram is feeling, that Sarah is feeling, that the whole family is feeling, the slaves, the merchant class that kind of went along with him where he went. Because he is the livelihood for a very large group of people. There would be this kind of, there's always some kind of excitement around moving. You know, I at 8 o'clock I realized, it's like, you know, most people don't just get up and move. But that's not completely true. My father was an IBMer. And like every 3 years we would just get up and move. Now, there was good reason for that. But as kids, it felt like, oh, a new adventure. And I'm sure there was some sense of that in the clan, that there is this, you know, adventure is on the way. But adventure has its risks. And so there's that sense of not only anticipation, but kind of cautiousness, concern. Where is this going? And then there is that one thing that seems to both motivate and paralyze most people in situations like this, and that is fear. Just the fear of the unknown. This may surprise you, but my wife actually is a very patient person. The people who know her well are laughing. She puts up with me and has for a really long time. And one of the very few things that we argue about on a semi-regular basis is when we drive places. Shocker, I always drive. If you ever got in the car with Priscilla, you'd understand. But I like to just go. Don't plan lunch, don't plan dinner, don't plan where you're going to stop. Just go in the general direction where the end is. This is not tolerated in the Hooper house. Priscilla wants it. She's like, I'll sit in the car forever, she says. But I need to know when we're going to stop. I need to have some sense of where this thing is going. Because the problem is, if I'm in the driver's seat, I don't care why. Because I'm in control. As a passenger, who Abram finds himself being today, he's not in control. He's just been told to go, and he'll find out along the way. And that really is very anxiety-producing in many, many people. Fear, as I said, is both a motivating factor and a paralyzing factor. For some, it's one. For some, it's the other. And for most, it's both. Fear of the unknown. Fear of being uncomfortable. Fear of the other. Fear of loss. Fear of real and present danger. There are many forms of fear. You know, think in your mind and in your heart, what are those fears that motivate and paralyze you? One of the ones that's weighing heavily on me these days as I get older is, will I be able to retire before the age of 95? You know, when the kids were littler or when the kids were younger, you know, it would be waking up in what I was perceived as the middle of the night and realizing that you hadn't heard one of the children come in, Robbie, and I would go to the window and look out on the driveway to see if his truck was there. When the younger children got older, and I would have that same experience, which was very rare, I would go to my phone, hit find my phone, and see where they are. And they're like, oh, they're in the house. Great. And go back to sleep. Fear at different stages in our lives looks like different things. But it is ever present. And we live in a world right now where fear is used both to, as I said, paralyze and to motivate, but frequently in very negative ways. So fear is ever present in the culture. It's this fear of the unknown that I believe Nicodemus is dealing with in today's reading. Jesus has come to, or actually he's come to Jesus. It's interesting. He's come to Jesus by night. He realizes there's something here he wants to get a hold of. He wants to know more about, but he's scared, quite frankly, because of his position in society. He's a Pharisee. And I don't mean that in the negative connotation in which we all use it. This is a man with great responsibilities. He's a man that many, many people rely on. The words that come out of his mouth literally can be law. And he takes these responsibilities very seriously. But he wants to know more about this guy, Jesus. And Jesus shares. And Jesus tells him. And Jesus shares with him and tells him that there's a better way. There's a new way of being that isn't just about the here and the now and what we're going to do to get to the next step. It's this life of the Spirit that Jesus is offering him. This idea that Jesus came into the world so that we could be more. So that we could be fuller. More whole. Be who God created us to be. Sounds great until you think of the execution of it. And then it gets scary. And Nicodemus is doing all that bargaining. What do you mean? Explain it a little bit further. Make this make sense to me. He doesn't understand, and he's not a man who doesn't understand things. And that probably scares him too. He doesn't know where the journey is going. And because of that, he's not sure he can go. Now, anybody who knows the way this story plays out, Nicodemus comes along 80% of the way. But it takes a lot of encounters. It takes a lot of experiences for him to get there, to get comfortable with this moreness that is Jesus. I am currently reading a book that's entitled How to Lead When You Don't Know Where You're Going. I thought, finally, somebody wrote my biography. It's actually a really good book. And what it's about is this place where the church finds itself today. No longer as the dominant culture, but as this new and changing thing that we don't know what it's going to look like. Hell, on some days, we don't even recognize it now. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's very anxiety-producing. I have a good friend who was ordained yesterday. And this is a horrible thing to admit. The very first thing I thought was, will he have a pension when he retires? I mean, right? I mean, you know, what does his future as a leader in the Episcopal Church look like? Luckily, he's the kind of guy who is really hyped up about the potential. He's very much out on the cutting edge of what's possible. So he is invigorated by this. But many people have become paralyzed by it. We don't know what the church is becoming. We don't know where the journey is leading us. But if we allow the Spirit to guide the way, I'm pretty sure we're going to be all right. Will it look like the church of my parents? No. It doesn't now, praise be to Jesus. Will it look like the church of some of your parents who are older than I? Certainly not. But that's not how we define church, is it? Church is not this beautiful building and this lovely music and this okay liturgy. I love the liturgy. I'm just not very good at it. But it's more than that. Church is us. Church is the work we do when we do it in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, when we do work that the Spirit has driven us into the world to do. The other reading for today was from Romans. And Paul talks about this idea that faith is a good thing, and faith is fundamental, and faith is necessary, and faith is the absolute starting point. But faith without works, to quote him, is dead. So church needs to be more. Just like Jesus is offering Nicodemus to be more. To get beyond the walls. To get out into the world. To get out into the neighborhood. In whatever form that looks like in your life. And yes, to regather. To be reminded. To be energized. To be fed. But again, that's just the beginning. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty much committed to this process. I'm in it for the long haul. Heck, I've been in it for the long haul already. And I'm very curious to see where this thing goes. And I'm really excited about it. And I'm really apprehensive about it. And I stay up at night worrying about it. That this thing that I love so much, these people who are so dear to my heart, that we're in the midst of tectonic change. But at the same time, isn't that kind of exciting? And they're all like, no. He's insane. Priscilla's convinced that my tombstone is going to read, what could possibly have gone wrong? But it's just true. God is offering us this amazing invitation to be on this journey together when we don't know where it's going. It's going to be bumpy. It's going to have its ups and downs and its turns. But if we all hang on, and we all gather together in love, we will get there. We will get there together. It will look different at the end of your lifetime than it will at the end of my lifetime, than it will look at the end of, I'm looking for somebody younger than me, your lifetime. But it will always be. Because the one thing we know for sure is that the love of God is eternal. So together, we've been invited on this journey. Jesus made us two promises. I will never leave you alone, and I will be with you till the end.